All of you know that the majority of fires to which we respond are of minor importance. But none of us can foretell at what moment that big one is liable to occur. The fire that will tax our efforts and equipment to their limits and force us to apply all the tricks of our trade if we're to make a successful stop.
Constant drilling is a necessity if top-line efficiency is to be maintained in the fire service. There is no substitute for practice. It is the only way we have of knowing our equipment and developing the ability to use it efficiently under fire.
In routine company drilling, the detailed procedures normally associated with response are frequently overlooked. And this very oversight could easily result in an otherwise well-trained company looking like rank amateurs. Most of these procedures of which I speak are fundamental. The responsibility of seeing that they're carried out lies with any man in charge of a firefighting unit. Suppose we consider these details of response one by one.
The best place to start is at morning lineup every day. Ask yourself, what is the numerical strength of my company? How many men do I have? Does everybody know what they are to do? Do I have a relief driver or engineer who needs instructions? Who lays the line? Who takes over if we're first in and I'm in charge at a fire? This is the time to get organized. An hour later may be too late. On receipt of a long ring, get to that phone in a hurry. Identify your station, determine who goes and where, repeat the address, write it down, and take it with you. Other units must know where they are going. As well as your auto fireman, your engineer, and other members of your company. On receipt of a box alarm, the location is your first concern. After double-checking the box number by reading the tape, the location can be quickly determined by checking the convenient list at the printer case. But if you have not memorized the other companies who will respond to the same location, check the proper running card and jot them down, for a knowledge of what help you'll have is vital to good firefighting. And don't forget, push the answer back button. How else can the dispatcher know you've received the alarm and are on your way? Though still alarms are rare, you may receive one at any time. When you do, be sure of the address and determine what is burning, if possible. Alert your crew with a long ring. Then notify the fire dispatcher before leaving quarters. As a last precaution, in fact, any time you leave quarters with your apparatus, check to see that every member of your crew is present.
Let me repeat, regardless of the type of alarm received, it is sound practice to let every member know the location. That way, there's less possibility of going wrong, and more assurance that every member will be thinking about what might be involved and what job each must perform in the probable lines of attack.
After you get rolling, there are many things to be considered. If you are a two-piece company, is your pump following? Motor trouble may have prevented its leaving quarters, in which case you will be forced to operate alone unless proper radio notification is immediately given to the signal office. The speed of your response should always be consistent with safety. It must vary with traffic conditions, visibility, and weather. To rely on green lights is foolhardy. Cross intersections under control. Other companies may be responding also. Anticipate their line of travel and watch for other emergency vehicles. Their sirens may be synchronizing with your own.
Speed and traffic conditions are not your only problems when responding to an emergency. Besides making sure you're taking the most direct route,
are you positive that house moving activities are not blocking your line of travel? Or that street repair work will not lead you into a dead end and costly delay? Notice of street closings, hydrants out of service, water shutoffs, and fumigations are of little value unless you plan ahead of time how you'll prevent such conditions from interfering with your operations.
The procedures I've pointed out are not complete by any means. You'll think of others of importance. Put them into practical use to accomplish the most important objective. Your apparatus is needed at the scene of emergency. See that it gets there safely.
And when you do get there, try to keep from blocking streets, hydrants, or other apparatus. Hose lines across streets and over tracks are to be avoided whenever possible. If this is not practical, remember to clear the street as soon as it is possible to do so.
While still traveling to the location given, start thinking about the possible nature of the emergency.
Is it a fire? An explosion? Or a rescue operation? If special equipment is needed, do you have it? If not, do you know how to get it?
A thorough knowledge of your first in district is essential. How else will you be able to estimate possible conditions at any given location in the area which you serve?
Does the location consist mainly of single dwellings, multiple occupancies, mercantile, or industrial establishments? Is there a potential life hazard to be considered? And have you acquainted yourself with the location of auxiliary firefighting appliances that will help in bringing a fire under control? Or help prevent excessive water damage? Will you need heavy streams? If so, what hydrants will support them? If the fire is of any magnitude and automatic sprinklers are operating, will the nearest water main supply fire pumps as well as the sprinklers Or must you use a hydrant on an adjacent main?
All of these problems are important to you, regardless of the type of apparatus you may be in charge of. Truck companies will be faced with problems of laddering,
forcible entry, rescue, ventilation, and the probability that your crew will be called upon to lay additional lines. Or help with salvage operations. And, of course, the priority of operations of regular salvage companies must be governed by the property values to be protected. Do you know where these values are located in the occupancies in your district?
In any event, I think you'll agree that no definite plan of action can be determined until you actually see what the emergency is. At any rate, a preliminary size-up upon arrival is important. If you have a fire, first you've got to quickly consider its size and extent, the possible life hazard, the exposures, both exterior and interior, building construction, wind and weather conditions, and any special hazards such as
chemicals, explosive dusts, high voltage equipment, and noxious gases.
The scout work you do en route will go far in helping you make your decisions with greater accuracy and speed, both of which are highly important during the first few minutes at any emergency. Doing the right thing and doing it quickly is the key to successful firefighting, and your success or failure will be in direct proportion to the amount of planning you have done before your wheels start rolling.